All right, going to go to the Bud Light Hotline now. Visit with Fred Siegel. He is the man behind Freezing Cold Takes at Old Takes Exposed. We've all seen it on Twitter. We all know what it's about. Most of us have been got by it at some point in time. Before we get to the new book, Fred, I just want to start here. 596,000 followers on Twitter. When you first started this, did you have any idea? Was there any part of you that thought you'd be doing media, writing a book, and have 500,000 followers on Twitter at any point in time?
No, not at all. Not even one thought about that. I was doing something else. I was an attorney, and I just was just doing something to try to troll the media as a fan.
And that worked out well.
And I just thought it would be something that was small.
All right, so the book is out now. Freezing Cold Takes, NFL. Football media's most inaccurate predictions and the fascinating stories behind them. Is there one that will always stick out with you as the absolute worst that you have come across and shared and put on full display for the general public?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one's about Belichick. When Bill Belichick was hired by the Patriots as their coach, and that whole month, he had left the Jets after one day of being the coach. And the whole month, he was criticized because he was trying to extricate himself from the Jets contract that he left on. So that whole time, it was open season on him. And then there was like a headline that said, the Patriots will regret hiring Bill Belichick. And there's nothing they did regret less, I'm sure.
Well, looking at some of the others and looking at some of the chapters, each chapter essentially tells the story. What is – so, for instance, when I read this, Brian Brohm has more upside than Aaron Rodgers. That's chapter 7. And then it's 8 pages. Is it stories? Is it – what exactly does each chapter entail?
Well, most of the chapters is, you know, you take a period or moment in a team or player's history where like a specific underlying sentiment was popular among the media. And I found like a substantial amount of articles and tweets and quotes and tell the story about why the media said what they said about this certain player or team. And I think a lot of these quotes and tweets and statements are things that people didn't realize happened at the time. But it's really about that team or player. Like the chapter on the Cowboys, I lead with the Herschel Walker trade, the quote about the Herschel Walker trade where the Cowboys created their dynasty off trading Herschel Walker for like 10 draft picks to Minnesota. But it's really about the Cowboys from like 1989 to 1993 and all of the things that the statements about them, about Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. Troy Aikman was getting criticized substantially. And then like the Herschel Walker trade. And I do the same thing about the Packers in like from like the 90s with Brett Favre and Mike Holmgren and Reggie White. So there's chapters about that. But there's one chapter in which it's really an extension of my feed, right? Just list old draft quotes from before the draft or during the draft, dating back to like the 70s. About Emmitt Smith, you got Bruce Smith, even Walter Payton, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, all the whole gambit, just a list of draft quotes. But that's really the only extension of my feed. The rest are just stories. There's a lot of research, spent 2 years on it, and it's not just a money grab where I just post takes.
Yeah, you're not just taking tweets that people have thrown out and publishing them in a book. Fred Siegel, the man behind Old Takes Exposed, Freezing Cold Takes on Twitter, and you look through some of what you're going to dive into in this book. I mean, I'm just going to give you the quotes. Tony Mandarich is in a class by himself. It doesn't get any better than this. Oh, boy. Why would we give up a first-round pick for Brett Favre? Yikes. And this one obviously hits close to home. When it comes to winning that one critical game, Bill Cowher can't do it. I mean, some of these are just all-time historic bad takes, and that's why I guess they're going to get an entire chapter in your book. How difficult was it to decide what would actually make a chapter and what wouldn't? Because I'm sure that there are historically bad takes about massive topics in the NFL that you had to leave out?
It was really hard. I had wrote four other chapters that I had to take out because the publishers wanted the book to be a specific amount of words. So it was really hard. I tried to use some of the great players and teams that people would know and would be interested in. That's really kind of just the whole. That's really where I used my that was my litmus test, I guess. Ones that people want to read about the most, and those are the ones I included in the chapters. But there's a lot of stuff I left out. I mean, if the publishers wanted me to, and I sold a lot of books, I could easily write a volume two.
What would you say was your favorite that just didn't quite make the cut, but was right on the list of one that you really thought was entertaining and clearly way off the mark?
One I really liked, and I was really getting into it, but then I stopped because I realized it was going to be too long, was the Eagles from 2017. The team with Carson Wentz got hurt, and Nick Foles came in, and they won the Super Bowl. And Doug Peterson was the head coach, and the media really trashed him when he was hired. And, you know, Jason Kelce even talked about it at the parade on top of the art museum steps. You know, this clown, Mike Lombardi, said that Peterson was the sixth best hire in the offseason. So, and there was a lot of stuff there. That was a real fun one that I had to leave out.
Fred, how do you even get through your mentions right now to decide what, and this is obviously a little bit separate from the book, but you still do a fantastic job on social media of being able to share things and sort of call people out and poke fun at folks. But the amount of people who I see just on things that I say and people who I follow and things that they say that tag you in that may end up to being something and may end up being nothing. How do you even siphle through your mentions as to decide what you're going to share, what you're not going to share, and what are things that people need to see from your account?
Well, it's really difficult. A lot of it's repetitive. I mean, 75% of it's repetitive. So people tagging me at things I've already seen. But it's really, I could just tell right away whether I would possibly want to use it. I mean, I know you guys get tagged about things that I would never post about, because it's just not big enough, like assistant coaches or recruiting in college football. But right away, if I see it, it's about recruiting, I'm not going to do it. If someone posts me to something where I see it's a politician, I'm immediately going to scroll through it. So I could just tell right away. So I kind of like filter it out within my head pretty quickly to the important stuff.
Probably smart to just let the political stuff go. So,
All right.
Do you have anything though on myself or Greg that sticks out that you've seen over time? What would you go with?
Well, I mean, I've been getting everybody's been tagging me to this Greg McElroy quote about, I think it was recently, about Tennessee's offense.
That it has a
unstoppable
chance. A chance to be unstoppable. Yes. Mm. Seen that
chance
too.
To be unstoppable, right. But immediately, when something like that gets popped up, and then what happened was, I'm sure it was on Findown, was it? They made a huge.
Go ahead.
Whoever was on made a huge image of it. Made it look like you really were just telling everybody it was going to be unstoppable. So I get tagged by every rival in Tennessee. But one of the ones that last year that I got sent to was McElroy talking about mid-October how Brian Harsin was like one of the front runners for SEC Coach of the Year.
Which then
now, was that like a jinx? Were you trying to jinx that?
Well, what I have a hard time with, like, it's the point in time. Like, if you ask me about something in October and he has the Tigers sitting at number 12 in college football, like, I. Like, that's why I think it's a little bit unfair sometimes. Not that it's not, I mean, I'm all for it. I think it's fun, all in good fun, so I don't really take it too personal. But at that point, he was. I mean, he had Auburn at number 12 in college football. They had beaten Arkansas. They had beaten Ole Miss. They had beaten LSU at LSU. So, I mean, there was some reason at that point, if you take a screenshot in time, why that would make sense. Of course, as you look back on it, it's not like I'm making that case in December, but I can understand completely where you come from. I think it's all in good fun. I think it's cool to have some accountability every once in a while. I got no problem with that.
No, and I just think people think that you were trying to jinx it successfully.
There's always a method to the madness now. I mean, of course, yeah. It's all about the jinx. That's what it is, without question.
The one that I get hit with cold so much, and I don't even know if this even counts anymore, but I constantly, it was really annoying because I would never use this because it was about an assistant coach. Cole wrote in February 2020, I mean, I think this was even before COVID, Georgia hired this assistant coach, a strength coach, Scott Cochran.
Correct.
And you wrote that it would be the biggest hit to Nick Saban's Alabama staff that you've ever seen.
I don't think that I went but, that far you know, with it, Georgia but it, I thought it would, I thought it would be a big hit. Yeah, and but the main reason, and I went on to explain why I said it, and it was because of some of what he did off the field and the conversations and what the sounding board that he was for players.
Nope, but don't try to spin.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. Yeah, there's nothing I can do.
It's too late.
Right. Because I was told that no Alabama player would ever be injured again since he left. So
yeah, I don't really pay attention to assistant coaches on other teams. So like. I wouldn't even know, but then all these Alabama fans are tagging it. We even got a better coach than him.
New staff's done a good job.
What have you seen? Because the most sensitive group that I've seen so far has been Oklahoma. I've never seen anything quite like what's gone on with Oklahoma this offseason. As far as Lincoln Riley leaving and how much of an upgrade Brent Venables is. What do you have good material on that?
Yeah, well, the material I keep getting, and this is one of the things that I completely ignore, if anybody is listening, is the validation of Oklahoma fans. They feel validated, right, when they get, like, when a five-star recruit commits. Like, that's already validation that he's better than Lincoln Riley. Like, one commit. But right now, I can't say anything. I'm not going to post anything about Oklahoma until they play. And they win games. But what they're tagging me to all these stuff, like about how Brent Venables is doing well in recruiting. And I'm like, I don't care. Like Lincoln Riley was good at recruiting. You got to give me like, they got to win games.
Fair enough. I'm for that. I think most people would be too.
Yeah. Winning helps.
Fred, where can folks get the book? Yeah. I know it's out right now. Tell us where they can get it.
You can get it anywhere books are sold. Freezing Cold Takes NFL. Type it into Amazon. Barnes & Noble, Borders, or you can go to my Twitter account at Old Takes Exposed and click on a link and on my pinned tweet, and it's right there. You can purchase it right there. I think if anybody who loves the NFL and history of the NFL, I'm highly confident that you will enjoy the stories in this book.
Absolutely. We will we'll share that from our account so folks can know where to go get the book. And if they're interested, they can go grab it. Fred, we appreciate the time on the show today. Take it easy on us with our college football predictions that we have coming up here in the next few weeks. And look forward to having you back again.
I'm waiting to see the Cole Kubelik wild card prediction.
Well, I actually thought that I thought you were easily going to go with NC State to the playoffs pick. But I'm glad to know that that's been overtaken by Scott Cochran leaving Alabama.
Wild card prediction. Yeah. You have the three traditional teams and then the one wild card.
Thankfully,
like Utah this year, I think.
I don't think Utah will be that much of a wild card this year. I think most people would understand that. And I think, thankfully, Damian watched about 2 hours of film with me yesterday, and I talked myself out of the team that I was going to throw in there.
Yeah.
So we're good. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're good.
There you go.
Fred, good stuff, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Fred Siegel there, Freezing Cold Takes, at Old Takes Exposed. Follow him on Twitter. Go grab the book. We just retweeted that from at Mac and Cube. You can go check it out now. All right, when we come back, we begin to go around the SEC. Training camp still underway. some question marks that we had about one quarterback situation maybe working itself out. We'll discuss that right after this on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.